We're going to begin a new series, or we started last week. We're going to continue on, I should say, in our new series, looking at the book of Hebrews. And I got to be truthful, trying to do up a way to do it so that each week we'll cover so many verses and get it through in a timely manner is a bit difficult sometimes to put it all together. And I had a lot of PowerPoint slides all done up and different things, and you get so bogged down in it that you never get anywhere with it, like, you know. So I just can put up references, and we can look it up in our scriptures, in the Bibles ourselves, and I'd rather sometimes do it that way, because when I just got the scriptures up on the wall, up on the screen there, you fellas just sit there like this sometimes, just look at it, and I can understand it. I'd probably do the same thing if I was sitting there too. But it's good to get into the Word yourself and know where things are at in the scriptures, and be able to know, you know, where to find different things. If somebody comes up and asks you a question about something, and say, well, Pastor preached on that last week, but I don't know. It was up on the screen somewhere. Now, if you knew it was at the scripture, it would be a lot easier to, you know, figure out where it was at. So we're going to begin at Hebrews chapter 1. You got this up on there, Steffi? Oh, right up in the corner, you see a folder there. Hebrews? Sorry. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to read the first four verses today. Not going to get into four of them, but we're going to touch on them. And this is the letter to the Hebrews. Now, last week we covered a lot of material about Hebrews. I'm calling it the letter to the Hebrews because that's what it's referred to as in Scripture. But some of the, they say the original, way back when it was written, was just called To the Hebrews. They didn't say if it was a letter, if it was a sermon, if it was an essay, or whatever it was. It was just To the Hebrews. The King James Version says the Epistle of Paul, or the letter of Paul to the Hebrews. That was just added there by the people that you know, translate the King James Version, because at that time most everybody figured it was the Apostle Paul. But there's a lot of speculation that it wasn't the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to get into all that. We talked about it last week. But anyway, whoever it was written by the Holy Spirit regardless, and is there for our learning. So the book of Hebrews, I'm going to look at, this is part two, and Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Now I'm going to read it in the King James. I use this Bible at home sometimes for studying, and it's falling to pieces, so I got to be careful how to use it, because Hebrews, part of it comes out of it altogether. But I wanted to do it through the King James so that we'll be all together on the same thing. If I had it up there, I wouldn't mind, because I could have put the King James up there, but I'll be using this one now for the next little while anyway. But anyway, King James, and if you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in front, and look it up and follow along. And if you own the Bible, you can mark on it. There's church Bibles, don't mark on them, okay? But anyway, let's look at the book of Hebrews. Before we begin, let's bow together. See, here's part of Hebrews now. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the Word this morning. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the goodness of God, so thankful for your faithfulness. And Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, as we approach it today, again, Father, we approach it reverently and humbly. And Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would just direct our thoughts, direct our understanding. And Father, help us to glean things from this, Lord. Help us not to be in a rush to get through it, but Father, help us not to get bogged down so much that we don't know what we're getting into. But so Father, just help us to get a good handle on the book of Hebrews, Lord, the things that are covered in that book. And Father, may it be a blessing to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And the writer to the Hebrews, he's saying, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, in the King James, and they say in the Hebrew, that was all one sentence. If you look at that in the King James, there's no periods there until you get down to the end of verse 4. That's why I did the full verse 4, first four verses. This passage There's a lot in there. We're not going to be able to cover every little detail because it would take forever to get through it. But the writer to the Hebrews is saying, he said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, in other words, different times, different ways, down through the ages, God has spoken, he said, to our fathers. This is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and whoever back there. He said, he spake unto our fathers by the prophets. He said, but in these last days, now this is the days that we're living in. You got to understand, when the Bible talks about the last days, now when we talk about the last days, we talk about the last of the last days. You know, we talk about the, you know, what's coming in the last days. But even on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, Peter stood up to preach, and he said, this is what Joel prophesied about, it shall come to pass in the last days. So he considered that the last days back then. And this was the writer to the Hebrews is doing the very same thing right here. He said, God in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but he said, in these last days, in these days we're living in now. So these are the last days from the time that Jesus came back in Bethlehem, and up unto the end of this age, really, is the last days, is you know, the age of grace and things that we understand. We know that there's some things in the future. There's a tribulation period coming. There's a millennial period coming. But this entire period is called the last days. We refer to the last days sometimes, as I said, you know, later on in the future, probably. Or sometimes we say we're living in the last days. And we are living in the last days ever since, you know, the New Testament. We've been living in the last days, in God's time period. But thank God for his mercy. This is what the Bible talks about. A lot of people are saying, but where is this coming? You know, ever since the fathers fell asleep. Remember the fathers we were just talking about? Ever since they fell asleep, he said, they're saying he's going to come back. They said, where's the promise of his coming? He said, but don't forget this. He said, with the Lord, he said, 1,000 years is as one day. One day is as 1,000 years. He said, but God's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But see, God, the Bible says, because of God's long suffering, he's waiting till all the harvest comes in. So it's God's mercy that Jesus hasn't come back yet, because he wants to get as many as he can into the family. Now, so anyway, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 there, the very first word, we're going to center in on that word today, and you say, Pastor, if you're only going to take one word a day, we'll be this for until the Lord comes. We're going to go through more than one word a day, but today we're just going to take one word, the very first word that opens up the book, God. God. He said, in the beginning, God, back in Genesis, in the beginning. Well, maybe we'll look at that in a minute. We're going to. But notice what he's saying here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners. Now, there's times, and we'll get into this a bit more probably next week, but there's different ways that God spoke to the children of Israel down through the ages. But in these last days. Now, notice the difference. He said, he spoke. I mean, that's past tense. He spoke in times past by the prophets. Okay, you get the old covenant. They came, the Bible says, the law and the prophets. That's how God spoke in the past. Okay, so that's, you understand that? Spoke is something that's already done and over with. Okay, but in these last days, he hath or has spoken. So he has spoken to us, so that's still relevant for us today. He's spoken to us, he has spoken to us in these last days by Jesus. And I keep saying this over and over, and we need to understand how true this is. You're not going to get a full picture of God by looking at Moses. You're not going to get a full picture of God, but look at Abraham or anything else. We thank God for these things. These are building blocks that we learn from. But you're not going to get a full picture of God until Jesus shows up. The Bible says no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. We look at some of these scriptures as we go through this. Okay, so the very first word, God. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Okay, it's right way back in the beginning. I don't hear the pages turning yet, so I know you're not doing it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, and like I said, I want us to get used to using the Word of God and knowing where things are at. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, he begins it the very same way. Here in Hebrews, he starts up with the word God, who at sundry times divers manners. So he puts God way back here in the beginning. Go back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You know the passage anyway. But back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you look at that and try to figure out what's going on there, when he's talking about God, the word that's used there, if you look it up in the Hebrew, the word that's used there is Elohim. Elohim. Okay? And when you see an I-M, you see the E-L-O-H-I-M? When you see an I-M on a Hebrew word, it's the same as our S in the English. It's a plural. Okay. Now, so he's saying, In the beginning, and don't misunderstand what I'm going to say here, but we'll qualify this in a minute. He said, in the beginning, gods created the heaven and the earth. Okay, now people got weird ideas we got on that and come up with all kinds of weird ideas. No, what he's talking about here, he's talking about the Godhead. Remember, gods that let us go down and make man in our image? Okay, now, so he's talking about the Godhead. He's talking, the Elohim is plural. It's like the scripture, and I should have had this up there, I just crossed my mind here now. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it is. If I got it right, but anyway. It's, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, or one Lord. Remember that passage? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The word one there, I should have had this up there so it would be easier to see. But the word one there is E-C-H-D, Hichad. Hichad, or something like that. That word one, but what they say, it's a plurality of one. Now, we don't have it in our English language, you know, but it's the plurality of one. It's like our you. I mean, I could say you and refer to all of you, or I can just pick it out and say you. You know, it's, you understand? And that word, because the same place where it's used, remember when God created Adam and Eve and things like this and brought them together, and the Bible says, a man shall leave his father and mother joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, you know there's two people, but that same word is used there. They're one. There's two people involved, but they're one. So when he's referring to here in Elohim, and the same thing, Hichad, one God, he's using the plural form, one God, but it's more than one person. It's one being made up of three separate persons, and you'll understand it more you read your scripture. Okay, so he's talking about the Godhead. Now, some people say, you know, and sometimes we look at, you know, the term Trinity, and some people get upset with that and say, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, I know it's not in the Bible. You know, that's like the word rapture. That's not in the Bible either, but the teaching is there. You know, and theocracy and things like that, because we live in a democracy, you know, where we vote and everything else. Everybody got supposed to have equal say and everything else. But when you get into a theocracy, God is the head. You know, so, but that word itself is not in Scripture, theocracy, but everybody understands it is God's kingdom. You know, so just because the word is not per se in Scripture doesn't mean to say it's not scriptural. You understand what I'm saying? So just because the word Trinity is not there doesn't mean to say it's not scriptural. We could also say triune, three in one. And whichever way you look at it, even the Jews back under the Old Covenant, the rabbis knew that there's something about God that they couldn't understand. There's three, but they're wrapped up in one. They couldn't understand it all, but there's three wrapped up in one. Now we know, because Jesus came to reveal what the Father is like, he came to reveal what God is like. We know that it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But they couldn't understand all that back in the Old Testament. They knew that God, you know, was a being out there. Somehow God had a spirit. But even down through Scripture, we get into this next week, he mentions the Son, you know. And but they didn't understand it in the fullness back under the Old Covenant like we would today. Now, but anyway, the word Godhead. Go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 29. That's over in the New Testament now. We're on over to Acts chapter 17. And verse 9, and as I said, we're going to take our time, and if we get to enter all these scriptures this morning, fine, but if we don't, that's fine as well. Acts chapter 17, and Paul is here in Athens, and you've heard the message that Paul gave on Mars Hill, and this is where it's at, and he went there and they had a image set up and the inscription under it, to the unknown God. They knew there was a God, but they didn't know who he was. And Paul said, I'm coming to tell you who he is. But down in verse 29, Paul says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, in other words, we're made in God's image, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. So he used the word there, the Godhead. It's not just, you know, one individual. He's talking about the Godhead, God. You know, Elohim, in other words, the Godhead, the Theos, and in the Greek. So he's telling us that this God, he said, is a Godhead. There's more than just one individual there. It's a Godhead. Okay, there's another passage I want us to look at, and we touch on, there's three of them we're all together. Romans, just go over another couple of pages or a few pages. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul Paul was speaking here. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So Paul's saying, the invisible things of God. Okay, God is invisible. We understand that. The invisible things of God, he said, are clearly seen from the beginning of the world. Now, how can you clearly see invisible things? You understand that? He said, the invisible things are clearly seen. It's like Paul said in another place. He said, while we look at the things that are not seen. How can you look at things that are not seen? You got to have an eye of faith, obviously. You got to understand that he's talking about not just with the natural eye. But he's saying the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now, what can you understand? He said, even his eternal power and Godhead. If you look at it, if you look at creation itself, he said, you can see the Godhead involved. Even the eternal, his power, he said, and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, let's go over to another passage. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, when Jesus stepped into time, I'll get into that in a minute, but when he stepped into time, he became the fullness of the Godhead. It was revealed through him. Okay, now, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him, talking about Jesus, okay, the Son of God, the Word of God, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Jesus was on the earth, all the fullness of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, was all wrapped up and revealed to us in Jesus. This is why Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You understand that? So we see this term Godhead used three different times during the New Testament. They never understood that back under the Old Covenant. Remember back under the Old Covenant, the Bible said there were a lot of things written, they were mysteries. They weren't seen by those back then. But as time went on and God revealed, God's revelation was progressive. As time went on, progressed more and more and more and got a clearer picture of who Jesus, or who God, the being God, truly is. And Jesus came to reveal him to us. Now, so let's move on there from the Godhead. So the word back in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, Elohim. This is why he said, let us make man in our image. There were three of them. Okay? Three individuals in one being. Hard for us to comprehend that, but just the way the scripture presents it. We just got to accept it by faith. Now, the Godhead was all involved in creation. Each one of those three individuals were all involved in creation. The Bible, if you go back in Genesis chapter 1 again, but we don't have time, I'm just going to quote it now. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And the second verse is, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay? And then it says, and the Spirit of God breathed or moved over the waters. Now, you can go back in Job and different things and explain different things. There's a lot of people that believe, and I believe it this way myself, because, okay, you go to school. Those that are going to school, you know, the teacher come up and said, well, we got dinosaurs, we got this, we got that. And he said, where's that in the Bible? You know, where's it all fit together? And we got a lot of people that sometimes misunderstand what's going on, and they kick up all kinds of fuss, and sometimes bring more shame to the gospel than they do help. If you look at the verse, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Something happened between, and you read this in Isaiah, and you read it in Job, and you read it in different places, but something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. It jumped down thousands, probably millions of years, I don't know. Okay, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void. Something happened between these two. And then the Spirit of God breathed, moved over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, God brought creation back, what we call the 6 days of creation. Now, but if you go back, they call it the age gap theory. That's what it's called in between verses 1 and verse 2. I believe at that time is when Satan was cast down from heaven. After verse 1, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Satan was cast down from heaven, destroyed everything. This is where the dinosaurs and everything else was all in that first earth. And this is why you see all these bones and everything around today from millions and billions of years ago, or whatever they say, you know, because that happened way back before Adam and Eve came on the scene. But when verse 3, God said, let there be light, and light came, and all these different things. That's when God recreated, if you want to use the term, the earth, and brought everything back to life. Anyway, that's another story and another message, and we don't have time to get into it. But anyway, in creation itself, all of the Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead, were involved. Now, the New Testament gives us more insight into this, because remember, Jesus came to reveal to us. Jesus came to reveal more to us. Now, Jesus, we could say in this way, he's the revelator. You know, he's the communicator. He's the one that declares God to us. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten, who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. You understand? So Jesus came to declare to us what the Father is like, what God is like. Okay, now, so let's look at this, New Testament. Over in the New Testament, John chapter 1. Now, we just talked about Genesis chapter 1. Let's go over to John chapter 1. They're almost identical in the way it's written there. Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1. Give you a chance to get back there. Genesis chapter 1, or John chapter 1 now we're going into. We just finished Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1. John says, in the beginning, starts out the same way as Genesis did. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Here he says, in the beginning was the Word. Now notice the word is capitalized there. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now notice that somebody said, who's the Word? Well, it tells us right here in verse 1, the Word was God. Okay? And then he goes on to verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Okay, so when you look at this passage right here, in the beginning, way back, probably even before creation in the first place, he's talking about there. And no doubt it was, because in the beginning was the Word. Some people said, oh, you know, I believe Jesus was created. I believe Jesus is just this and that and everything else. Now, the Bible says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, I should have had this up there too, but some of these verses come to your mind as you're preaching. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we talk about Jesus, you know, about being born in Bethlehem and stuff like that. He said, whose goings forth, in other words, his activities and his movings and everything else, has been from of old, from everlasting. I've said this lots of times. I can think of, to a certain extent, I can understand everlasting out into the future. You know, it's a bit easier to comprehend because somewhere we started, but everlasting out into the future. But everlasting from behind, that there never was a beginning, I can't even comprehend that. You know, to me, it's just, you fellows might be smarter than I am. You probably all figured out already. I just can't figure that one out, how God could be forever and ever and ever and ever in the past. There never was a time when he wasn't. Never was a time when he started. He always was there. There's no beginning. So when he's talking about here, in the beginning, he's talking about way, way, way back there, before anything, before creation of anything. In the beginning was the Word. So Jesus is back there. He wasn't created. He is back there in the beginning. The Word was with God, with the other two members of the Godhead, and the Word was God. He is part of the Godhead. You understand that? He said the same was in the beginning with God. Now what do you do with words? Obviously, you communicate. Right? I'm communicating with you now, even in my own provincial dialect. You fellows still understand something was going on here. But we use words to communicate. Okay? We use them to speak. Now, these are all important. We use them to convey a message. We use them to reveal something. And we use them to declare something. Jesus was the Word. He declared God. The book of Revelation says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus came as a revelator. He came as a revealer. He came as the one that communicated to us what God is like, what the Godhead is like. Okay, so this is when you look at that. In the beginning was the Word. In the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son is the Word. In the Godhead, the Word was the one that communicated God to us. He's the one that declared and revealed God to us. Okay, and you see this, as I said, as you get into the New Testament, you see this even more clear. But he's the one that declared God to us. Now, he's the second person of the Godhead. 1 John 5 and 7. Go over there for a second. This is way over now, almost over to Revelation. Over past Hebrews where we started. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Give you a chance to get there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear record in heaven as to who Jesus was. He said, there are three. He said, it's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, these three are one. That's what we call the three in one, or the triune God, or the Trinity. Okay? These three are one. Now, let's move on. So we're at John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's move on now to John chapter 1, verse 3. Go back to John chapter 1 again, and just look at verse 3. We just look at verse 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Now, down to verse 3, remember what we said back in Genesis chapter 1? Elohim, the Godhead, was all three members were involved in creation. Okay? Now, you see, Jesus came and revealed even more to us and explained us how some of these things work. Okay, John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him. Now, who's the him he's talking about? God, but what part of the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, by him. Where all things were made by him, by the Word. All things were made by the Word. Jesus was involved in creation, okay? All things were made by him. Let me see where I'm at. And without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, so, wrong button. All things were made by him, the Word. So the Word was a creator. Okay, now remember, God spoke. What do you do with words? You speak them. Okay? But is more than just a sound going forth. This is Jesus himself. Okay, now, all things are made by him, by the Word, and without him, nothing was made. Remember, we talked about in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was back there in the beginning. He said, with God, with the Godhead. He said, everything was made by him. Some people say, no, he was made by the Father. No, everything was made by him. You understand? There's teaching going around saying, well, Jesus was the first part of God's creation. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. He was in the beginning with God. He was God, and everything was made by him. And without him, nothing was made. You understand that? So there's nothing in this planet that was made without Jesus. Okay? Everything, even the pews you're sitting on, was made by his creation. Matter of fact, we were too. Every one of us. All part of what Jesus did. Okay? So Jesus is the creator. By him all things were made, and without him nothing was made, or without him there was nothing created. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's go over again. This is over in the New Testament there. Over to your right. And go on over past Romans and different things. If you hit Hebrews, you're gone too far. Come back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 3. Or, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you. Keep me straight. Like CNN says, they're keeping them honest. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God. Okay, there's the mystery he's talking about there is a church, the Gentiles getting saved and brought into the family of God and things like this. But he said this was a mystery hidden way back there. Okay, and you find that many of the places through Scripture. We don't have time to get into all these today. We did a series a while ago back in the Bible study about different mysteries that were hidden way back there. They were hidden in God. So he says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. And notice, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The Godhead created everything by Jesus. Okay, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay, now, all three persons, again, we said, were involved in creation. But the one that was active in speaking into existence and creating was Jesus. Okay, the Word, we would say, because he wasn't called Jesus until the New Testament. but we understand that. But he was the Word of God even back there in the beginning. Okay, in the beginning was the Word. You can't go back any farther than that beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, so let's move on. All three persons of the Godhead were involved in creation. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 to 17. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you're in Ephesians there, just a couple of pages over. Colossians chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Now this is the Apostle Paul writing this. The Apostle Paul was the one that received the revelation of the new covenant, the new age of grace that we're living in. Paul talked about the dispensation of grace that's been handed to me for him to preach, he said, to the Gentiles as us. Okay? Now there's a lot of people that say, well, now, maybe I just show you this for a second. There's a lot of people to say, well, you know, and I remember Pastor Cyril Rogers one time, he was witnessing somebody, and he mentioned something that Paul said. And whoever this fellow was, he said, oh, he said, Paul, he said, I don't care what Paul said, he said. You know, he said, I want to read what Jesus said. Now you got to understand, what Jesus said was under the old covenant. Now get that in your mind, it was under the old covenant. When Jesus came on the earth, he came under the law, the Bible says. He was born under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The new covenant never came in until the night that Jesus was betrayed. Remember that when he took the cup? He said, this cup was new. Well, actually, it never came into effect then, I guess, in one sense. But that was, he was just instituting what we call the Lord's Supper. And the new covenant came in, and since Calvary, we relate to God a totally different way than they did in the old covenant. Under the old covenant, there was a lot of harsh rules, a lot of judgments, a lot of things that God had to deal very strictly with. You don't see that in the new covenant. Okay? We're under different covenants. I keep telling you that over and over. We're under different covenants. Jesus brought in a new covenant. Now, so some people say, well, I don't believe, you know, Paul's writings were important. I don't believe they're scripture or anything like that. I don't believe that they're so important as like John or you know, some of the fellows that went around with Jesus. Let's see if I can find it quickly here. Go over to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather. Yeah, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Just going to give you something here. If anybody comes up and says, well, you know, I don't believe in Paul. I don't think Paul is all that important. I don't think his writings are on par with everyone else. This is something for you to keep in your mind what to say to them. Now, you got to understand, Paul came preaching the gospel of grace, which we're living under today. Okay? And it's hard to understand for those that came up under strict rules and everything else. It's hard to understand the grace of God. Hard to understand how good it really is. And even the Jewish people themselves had problems. Remember we talked about the Judaizers? These are people that got saved but just couldn't let go of their old customs. And they tried to bring in all these rules. And even them themselves found it difficult. And Peter's right here, Peter is saying in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He said, an account, or take into consideration, that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also wrote, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. So he says, the long-suffering of God, or the patience of God, not coming back, and you know, like we were just talking about, the long-suffering of God, you know, is a thing. God is waiting for the full harvest to come in. And he said, Peter's saying here, now this is Peter, he went around with Jesus. Everybody listens to Peter. But those that don't want to listen to Paul, notice what Peter says about him. He said, our beloved brother Paul, he said, according to the wisdom that was given to him, God gave him special wisdom for the age of grace. Notice what Peter says. See if I can find it again. Verse 15. Well, let's read verse 15 again. An account that the long-suffering of God is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood. Peter was one of the disciples who went around with Jesus. He said, but this is what Paul's preaching? He says, it's hard to understand sometimes. But he still called him his beloved brother. just because he couldn't understand everything, because Peter came from the Jewish background. Now, Paul did too, but Paul had the revelation from Jesus himself. He tells in Galatians chapter 1 that Jesus himself gave him the message that he's preaching. And Paul's saying here, and notice what he says, he said, he's written unto you many epistles, or letters, we would say. He's written unto you many letters. He said, they're hard to understand some of the things that he said, because it was totally against what they came up as Jews, what they were brought up with. Totally different than that, because Paul was going to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles couldn't understand, or the Jews couldn't understand, how can a Gentile be saved if he's not circumcised, he don't worship on the Sabbath day, he don't eat certain kinds of food, or he stays away from certain kinds of food? How can they be saved if they're doing everything different than what we're doing? See, so Paul, Peter saying here, he said, when Paul wrote that, he said, some of these things are hard for us to understand. Now, let's move on. As in all his epistles, speaking these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they which are on, or they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or in other words, they wrestle with. They can't figure it out. Okay? They rest, he said, as they do all the other scriptures, even to their own. Now, when you talk about Paul's letters and Paul's writings, and then you say they're treating them like you do with all the other scriptures, doesn't that make Paul's writing scripture? I mean, just use common sense. If he's saying, you know, Paul's letters, he said, people find it hard to understand. They argue about it, they wrestle with it, they can't figure it out. He said, like they do with all the other scriptures. So he's equating Paul's writings with all the other scriptures. So Paul's writings are just as important as Moses' writings or Isaiah's writings or Jeremiah's writings or anyone else or Peter's writings or John's writings. Okay, now that was just a little sidetrack. But just in case somebody says to you, well, I don't believe in Paul. I don't think Paul. Listen, even the Apostle Peter went around with Jesus. People listened to Peter. Even Peter said he equated Paul's writings with Scripture, with the rest of the Scriptures. Okay, now let's go back to where we're at. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Oh, okay. I was looking at chapter 2. Couldn't figure out where it was at. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, notice he's talking about the Father has delivered us and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Who's his dear Son? Jesus. What's another word for him in John chapter 1 there? The Word. Okay? He said, so God the Father has delivered us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus, the Word. Now, let's move on. In whom, in Jesus, get that? In the Word, we have redemption through his blood. Well, we know it was Jesus that died for our sins. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Now, notice this. Who, talking about the Word again, remember, the Word is the communicator. He's the one that declares. He's the one that reveals. Who, the Word or Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. I should put up some of these things I got up there. I got on the internet. Okay, here we are. He's the image of the invisible God. Now, you got to understand that forever, God has been invisible. This is why the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. When Moses wanted to see him, God said, I'll put my hand in front of you. He said, now my back parts pass by. And he said, I'll declare my name as I go. He said, but you can't look at my face. Remember that? No man has seen God at any time. John chapter 1 tells us. He said, but the only begotten. Who's the only begotten? Jesus, the Word. Who's in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. Nobody's seen God at any time. But he said, the only begotten who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So, now, God is invisible. He's an invisible spirit. This is why the Godhead, this is why the Jewish people couldn't understand it. They knew he's there. They knew there was three individuals somehow wrapped up, but they could not understand what this Godhead was all about. You know, and here he's saying, Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. God is invisible. The Godhead is invisible. Okay, so he's the express image of the invisible God. And then he says, the firstborn of every creature. Well, let's move on here. The triune God was never visible. This Trinity, this Godhead, was never visible to natural man. Okay, now, no man has seen God at any time. We already covered that. Verse 15, there in Colossians chapter 1 again. And now, you see the word there. We don't have time to get into it all right now. I'll try to touch on it next week if I can. He said, verse 15, he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. Now, a lot of people get all twisted up at that word firstborn. They think that means that Jesus was born. You know, like, I'm not talking about Bethlehem now. I'm talking way back in the beginning, that he is born to God somehow. He's the firstborn. Now, we look at that word next week, so keep that in your mind. We'll trace that word down next week. But anyway, verse 16. For by him, by the word, okay? Let's see if I can help here or not. Okay, he operated in the invisible realm. Okay, when the time came, it was God. So here's the thing. These three individuals, these three persons into one being, when the time came for God to make himself visible, it was the Word, because he's the communicator. Got that? He's the revelator. He's the one that reveals. He's the one that declares. That's why the only begotten has declared him. Okay? Jesus, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. So this invisible God was there for forever. No one has ever seen it. But all of a sudden, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, Galatians 4:4. But he says, when the time came, it was God the Son who stepped out of that invisible realm. Like a really there, should be realm. And became the visible manifestation of all three. You understand where I'm coming from there? Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. God is invisible. But when the time came, it was the Word out of these three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, whichever you look at it. It was the Word that stepped out into time that we could see, we could handle, we could understand, we could look at him. And he revealed to us what God was like. He was the express image of the invisible God. Now, I don't know if I'm getting in this too deep for you, too slow or what. But he was the visible image, I should say, the visible manifestation of the invisible God. So if you want to see, this is what Jesus said, if you want to see what the Father's like, look at me. You understand that? Because he was the one that revealed the Father. He's the one that revealed the Godhead. So he stepped out of eternity into time and became the visible manifestation of all three. Now, John 14, 9 and 10. If you look back there for a minute, I don't have time to get into it right now, but you can look back and you can jot it down, look at it yourself. This is when Philip came to Jesus. Philip said, if you show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you and you don't know yet? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Another place he said, I and my Father, we're one. Okay, in the Godhead, you see, God the Father is not more powerful or more deity than God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. They're all co-equal in the Godhead. So this is why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father, we're one. Now, Philip says, show us the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians 1:19. You can jot that verse down too if you want to. The Bible says, it pleased the Father that in him, the Word, Jesus, should all the fullness dwell. Okay? It pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Colossians 2:9, we already talked about this a little earlier. In him, in the Word, when he stepped out into time, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body form. Okay, this is why Jesus could say, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to reveal the Father to us. Is that understandable so far? Okay, this invisible God who was invisible for eons of ages stepped out into time in the body of Jesus Christ. And it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, in the Word, all the fullness of the Godhead would dwell bodily when he is on the earth. Okay, this is why Jesus said, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father do it. He said, I came to do his will. He came to reveal. He was the visible manifestation of the invisible God. Okay, we're going to, I think there's another couple of scriptures. Verse 16, it says here, for by him, again, by the word, this second person of the Godhead, were all things created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things. Remember, in the beginning, way back there was the word. He is before all things. Okay, so he wasn't created himself. He was before all things. He is before all things. And the last part of that verse, and we finish up with that. He said, and by him, all things consist. All things are held together by him. Okay, so this is the very first part that we're going to look at in that Hebrews chapter. God, Elohim, Godhead, the triune God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The Son stepped out of eternity into time, and all of a sudden we could see God. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son is in the bosom of the Father. He stepped out and revealed God to us. So when you look at Jesus, you see God. This is why Jesus, when he came around, and this is why I keep saying, if you want to get a true picture of God, look at Jesus. He's the express image of his person. The Bible tells it over in Hebrews. We don't have time to get into it again now, but in the passage we already read. He's the express image of God. And so when, you see, it's amazing that the world, I mean, you know, they'll go crazy over a movie star, they'll go crazy over a rock star or something like that, or some celebrity, they go crazy, and they'll almost worship them. But here's the Creator, the one that created them himself. Here's the Creator. I mean, there's not a personage in the universe more important than Jesus. And they use his name and curse words and swearing and derogatory and everything else and laugh at it. You know, but here is, that's how important this God is. Next week we're going to look at the firstborn, and we're going to look at the Son, how he's referred to as the Son of God. Now notice, now all of it's not going to go so slow as this, okay? So, you know, this is just laying the foundation at the beginning, because the book of Hebrews, as one thing the book of Hebrews is doing, is revealing who Jesus is. Okay, who Jesus is. And when you understand that, and I've told you before, the theme of Hebrews is Jesus is better. He's better than everything that the Jews had under the old covenant. Because they wanted to go back under the old, back under the old covenant, we had our own high priest. We could go and bring our offerings to him. We could do it. And Paul said, listen, we got a better high priest. Or the writer to the Hebrews. We got a better high priest. Yeah, but you know, back there, you know, they had the angels visiting everybody else. He said, listen, Jesus is greater than the angels. You go down through the chapter, through the book of Hebrews. That's what he's talking about all over and over and over. Jesus is greater. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater. You have everything you need wrapped up in Jesus.